Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Friday afternoon show. We have a lot of local sports coming up. Do not forget tonight, right here on KOAL, the Emory Spartans will take on the Union Cougars. It is homecoming for the high school football season. On our sister station, we get more high school football as well, with the Carbon Dinos going up against the Morgan Trojans. We'll talk a little bit more local sports in just a bit. I wanted to save this specific segment for Major League Baseball, and I have to bring in a great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, to talk some Major League Baseball. Steve, it's always a pleasure to have you along. I appreciate the time today. Thank you.
Very much appreciated as well. Good to talk to you.
Well, it's great that Major League Baseball has reached the playoffs. It is the best time of the year. I know we're 11 days away from the start of the NBA season. We're right in the thick of things as far as the NFL and college football goes, and now we're down to essentially the top eight teams in Major League Baseball duking it out over the course of 5 and 7 game sets. It is the best time of the year to be involved in sports media.
No question about it, and that's if you're a Dodger fan like myself, if you're a fan of any of the Elite Eight right now, as you like to refer to it, it's 11 games. That's what it takes. It takes 11 wins to win the World Series. Everything that's happened has led up to this point, and like you said, best time of year for a lot of football and baseball fans.
It absolutely is, and as far as baseball goes, I'm going to start by talking a little bit more abstract. There is an ad going on. And if you watched any of the games last night, I know it aired a couple of times during the Dodger contest, the Dodger-Braves game, about embracing the new age of Major League Baseball and slamming the unwritten rules. And I find this ad so intriguing because, Steve, for as long as you and I have swapped appearances on each other's shows, you and I have definitely shared a couple of things in common. Outside of the whole Notre Dame-USC thing, we both root for the Dodgers, and we both believe that the unwritten rules of baseball are completely stupid. And now there's an ad out there bashing the history of baseball and the unwritten rules. I'm curious as to your opinion on this.
Well, I found it fascinating that that Major League Baseball embraced this, because normally Major League Baseball doesn't want to call attention to the things that make it almost unpopular or unfancy, for lack of a better term. You know, NFL likes to you know, promote from within. They like to promote their players. They like to promote their names. But they like their players and their names to be sanitary. They like their players and their names to be faces. Well, now Major League Baseball takes a different view here. Here you have Ronald Acuna, who's a bit of a hothead. Here you got Yasiel Puig, who's a bit of a hothead. And you got other players who like to be more individual talents. They like to be above the brand name a little bit, which is fun for me as a baseball fan, because I'm old. I'm 48 years old here, and I'm okay with the idea of the individual bat flip. I'm okay with the Jose Bautista moment. I'm okay with those things, and I've said this before, and you and I have talked about this. I'm okay with it so long as they understand that there are consequences for it. Sometimes a player is going to get thrown at. Sometimes a player is going to get attention in the negative sense. Baseball seems okay with that, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's a change from where we've been before with Major League Baseball, where, we want our players to be sanitary. We want them to be very antiseptic. No. Let them be a little bit cerebral. Let them be a little bit outlandish. I don't mind it, and I think it's comforting to see that Major League Baseball, especially going through a bit of an identity crisis. Look, it's kind of an older person sport, people say, and people say I'm not interested in it because it's boring to watch. Well, how do you make it not boring to watch? Promote your personalities. It's one of the things that the NHL does not do. It's one of the things that a lot of so-called fringe sports don't do. I couldn't tell you the names or personalities of nearly every driver except for Kyle Busch Joey Logano. Those are the only two names I know of in NASCAR. Why? Because they're outlandish or outrageous personalities. That's it. Before that, it was Tony Stewart. I could give a damn about most of the other drivers because I don't know anything about them and they don't have any personalities. Sell your personalities. That's what MLB is doing.
Well, and I think that this whole, before I jump topics here, I will point out that Ken Griffey Jr. is the spokesman in the ad, and we're talking about one of the last of the good guys from the steroid era. right? This guy's image is so squeaky clean, and it was his entire career. And I love the fact that he's the narrator on this ad. They were very precise in choosing who they were going to have narrate this particular ad.
And he's the one, the squeaky clean guy, who's saying, let the kids play. And I love that aspect of it, because you can't say that it's a bad guy who's saying this. It'd be totally different if it was Barry Bonds, or if it was Sammy Sosa saying it, or Roger Clemens saying it. No, it's a good guy from the worst era, you could argue, in Major League Baseball history.
No, absolutely right. Now, along with this particular topic, and as you're talking about sell yourself, I see a direct correlation with this ad to the recent comments of Commissioner Rob Manfred when he was critical of the way Mike Trout presents himself to the public. I see a direct correlation between it. I don't believe that the timing is a mere coincidence here, Steve. I really don't.
No, and Mike Trout needs to be more promoted. Mike Trout needs to do, but that has to come from him. He has to be less apprehensive about dealing with the media. I think it's also ironic that the other big name that's coming up in free agency this offseason, Bryce Harper, is the guy who in 2016 went on this whole viral campaign about make baseball fun again. Okay, so you got Mike Trout, who's about to get who's already got one of the most gigantic contracts ever, Bryce Harper, who's going to get another gigantic contract from somebody, and these are the two guys who one needs to be more heavily promoted and the other who wants more of that same type of promotion. So to your point about Mike Trout, yes, he does need to do a better job in promoting himself. Major League Baseball needs to do a better job. And to follow that suit, here's the example. Here's Bryce Harper. He wants to be more promoted, which is why he's begging to get out of Washington, D.C., where they do no promotion for their athletes.
Again, we're being joined right now by Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico talking Major League Baseball. Steve, to your point that Mike Trout needs to be more active in presenting himself and getting his name out there and being more open to the media, I would have one critique to what Rob Manfred had to say. Yes, some of that does in fact fall on Mike Trout, but some of this falls on Rob Manfred, and I'll give you an example. We are in the postseason. We have a team of the Houston Astros who are the defending World Series champions, and they have several marketable players on this team, including Jose Altuve, who I believe is a guy that many of the regular Joes can relate to. If you see him standing next to Aaron Judge, it's incredible, the size and stature. But guess what? Altuve has an MVP. Altuve has a World Series championship ring, and Aaron Judge does not. However, you couldn't watch Altuve play today because most of America works. And the Astros, who are the defending World Series champions with an MVP at Altuve, played at noon. So while Rob Manfred wants to be critical of Mike Trout and the way he presents himself to the public, something's got to be done about showcasing the highest level of talent in the postseason at a reasonable time where the United States of America can watch.
And I would make the excuse if it was, say, a game with a team in a bad television market. But Houston's the fourth largest television market in America. It's not like they were playing this game in some wheat field in the middle of Iowa somewhere. No, it's Houston. They're one of the largest television markets in America. So to your point again, and the only reason they did this is because TBS has to have the Yankees and Red Sox representing two of the largest television markets in the world, they got to have them on prime time. It's something you and I talked about earlier about how the NBA, yeah, their postseason schedule, it drags on. You never miss a game, though. You always see these games, and I think that's something that Major League Baseball needs to address, because I would have had a little bit better situation if you'd have moved the Colorado-Milwaukee game to noon and had the Houston-Cleveland game on at 2:30 in the afternoon. I would have been able to be a little bit more acceptable with that, but you're right. I mean, Houston needs to be on in prime time. They're the defending champions, and you stuck them at noon today.
Look, I remember when I was in high school, the Dodgers and the Cardinals had an opening round series, and I begged my father to excuse me from school so I could watch the Dodger game. Now, fortunately, I have a great dad, and he said, absolutely. You don't need to go to school today. Stay home and watch the Dodgers. And I'm forever in debt, even though the Dodgers lost that game. I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm forever in debt that my father allowed me to stay home. But again, that's a problem with Major League Baseball. You want to present this young, new talent that you have. You want to present these exciting players. Put the games on at a time where people who work, people that actually have lives, can watch.
I'll never forgive Tom Needham for giving up that home run.
You You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
No, I was there, 1985, Game 6. I remember. I ran home. I had my Walkman. I was in high school. I had my Walkman. I was listening during class. I wasn't paying attention to whatever class it was I was in. And I remember sprinting home just in time to watch Tom Nedenfuhr give up that home run.
Same. Similar situation. We know exactly what we're talking about here. Steve, with all this talk about what's right and what's wrong with Major League Baseball, more of the abstract conversations, the fact of the matter is we have had some entertaining baseball up to this stage. Last night, we had the Atlanta Braves in the postseason, and I want to touch on them for a moment. I think it's a terrible matchup for the Braves because the Dodgers hit right-handed pitching stellar, and the Braves will probably roll out 3 to 4 right-handed pitchers from this point on. It's a bad matchup for them, but isn't it interesting that we have a team that I say is 2 years ahead of the curve going up against the defending NL champions in the opening round of the playoffs? I mean, this year for baseball, it's been fantastic. I know Cub fans don't want to hear that, but we have the Rockies in the playoffs, and the Rockies have, again, in a smaller market, one of the top players in the National League, and Nolan Arenado, one of the best 1-2 punches between Story and Arenado. The Milwaukee Brewers are good. We get the Yankees and the Red Sox. We have the Astros and the Indians. I mean, we have some stellar baseball right now in the postseason.
We do, and you mentioned the Atlanta Braves, and first a shout out to the Oakland A's, who continue to be that team every year. Oh, this is the one, this is the team, and they've been knocked out of the playoffs like every year in the last 6 years, because every year they're always the team to beat. I like the Braves story, it's a fun story, but yes, they're a year or so away from being a major contender. They've got to shore up their pitching rotation. This idea of the out-getter, the guy who starts the game, but he's kind of a closer, he's kind of a reliever, that doesn't work. And I don't know how long it's going to take for other teams to figure that out, but that doesn't work. You need actual specific starting pitchers. And I know that the Braves and the Brewers are trying to rewrite history here a little bit, but that doesn't work. It's not going to work for Milwaukee, I don't think, in the long run. I don't think it's going to work for Atlanta in the long run. But the way it's done is the way the Dodgers are doing it and the way that sort of Houston does it. I think the Houston story is fascinating. Dallas Keuchel's like the worst pitcher in that rotation, yet he's a 2-time Cy Young Award winner. Gerrit Cole's been fascinating all season long. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal to see these games. It's phenomenal to see how this postseason is going to play out.
And meanwhile, the Chicago Cubs have a $100 million pitcher by a name that I will not mention on the show today. And, well, they're sitting at home.
Thank goodness. I mean, like I said, if the Dodgers end up winning this, we need to raise a glass to that pitcher who shall not be named, because if it had not been for his performance or lack thereof in Game 7 last year, we'd be going for back-to-back championships right now.
Steve, let's jump to the two night games tonight. Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Braves. We'll start with the Yankees and Red Sox. Who do you like in this series? Because obviously the Red Sox were the most dominating team front to back of a 162-game season. And I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy here, but when I look at the Red Sox, I see some obvious holes. And I'm going to throw out the fact that this team was dominant throughout the entire year and actually won 108 games in the AL East. The fact that the Yankees won 100 games and they were 8 back in the division is fascinating in itself, but still, I'm not taking the Red Sox seriously. They may get the win over the Yankees in this series, but I don't view them as the front runners in the American League. Am I right or wrong, and who do you like in this series?
I like the Red Sox in the series, but I love tonight's matchup with J.A. Happ, because he's the pitcher that the Red Sox can't not lose to. And the reason I say that is because J.A. Happ, you're either going to get home runs off him or you're not getting anything. He doesn't walk anybody. And that's going to be a fascinating pitching matchup, because Chris Sale, I don't trust anyone on this pitching rotation for the Red Sox. I don't trust Price. I don't trust Sale. I know eventually one of those guys is going to blow up here. And you mentioned the 109 wins to 100 wins for the Yankees. How many of those wins do you give the Yankees, that 9-game difference? How much of that difference would have been made up by a healthy Aaron Judge in the middle of August and September?
Oh, absolutely. And again, when you talk about a matchup in the playoffs, it is important to note that the Yankees have 12 pitchers and 13 position players on their roster. They have 3 lefty relievers plus CC Sabathia, and the matchup possibilities are endless going forward in this series. I think it's the biggest chess match that we have in the opening round.
And isn't it interesting also that it's two very inexperienced managers whose decisions are going to be questioned by everybody? You've got Alex Cora, who comes from the player perspective. And you got Aaron Boone, who not only has the player perspective, but also sort of the analyst perspective. So he knows that every decision he makes is going to be microscopically analyzed to the nth degree, especially by Yankees fans out there. So I think it's going to be a compelling matchup to see which of these young managers is going to blink first in those situations. Whereas, you know, in the other series, you've got, you know, kind of a new manager in Houston, but certainly an old school manager. And if Cleveland advances, oh my goodness, how fascinating would that be, especially if it's Cleveland-Boston, because you know Terry Francona wants every bit of the Boston Red Sox.
No, there's no question. Lastly, Steve, before I let you go, tonight, the nightcap, we get the Dodgers and the Braves. Clayton Kershaw back on the mound for L.A. I know it's been a trying year for Clayton. It really has. Statistically, when you look at what Clayton Kershaw has accomplished, he's down almost in every statistical category except for quality starts. Quality starts, to me, is the most telling stat of a pitcher in the regular season because you have to go six innings and you can't give up any more than three runs. However, once you get to the postseason, you throw the quality start statistic out because nobody cares about it now. It's all about wins and losses. To your point earlier, you need 11 wins to win the World Series. So it's a telling stat in the regular season. It means nothing in the postseason. What Clayton Kershaw do we see tonight?
As trying a year as it's been for Clayton Kershaw, I would argue as Clayton Kershaw has been a trying year for us. I mean, I'm just going to throw that out there. But I think the Clayton Kershaw you see tonight is the guy who baffles young hitters who are going to be overwhelmed by him tonight. And I think that's no disrespect to what Clayton Kershaw has meant to this organization, but he's a spot starter now. He's that guy who you're going to put into a situation where he has a clear and distinct advantage. Why? Because Ryu threw so well last night. The Braves now find themselves behind the eight ball. If they lose tonight, they're done. I don't care that they go back to Atlanta for game three of this series. They're behind the eight ball. So what you do tonight is you put Kershaw in a situation where the Braves have to press. And they're going to press. And the Dodgers are going to be at home. They feel comfortable. They put up six runs last night. I expect them to put up that many runs again tonight. And if they do, again, you force the Braves into having to press. And it's almost the same reason why I'm almost hoping that it's either that it's Milwaukee that faces the Dodgers in the next round. Because, again, younger team, yes, they're a little bit more dynamic as far as their hitters are concerned with Braun and Yelich, obviously. But you almost want those matchups where you put the Brewers and the Braves, I think, tonight, in that place of being behind the eight ball where they have to produce in order to succeed. And that's where Kershaw has the advantage. He's got the cerebral and the mental ability to own a team that finds itself in a bad position tonight.
Yeah, you know, we talk about it being a trying year for Kershaw. And again, I think this points to his dominance. And I mentioned the quality start. Steve, out of 26 starts, 20 of them were deemed quality for Kershaw. That's a bad year for Clayton Kershaw, too, because we look at the ERA of 2.7. Still pretty good. I know 30 teams would take that.
And still pretty good. And again, this is a Dodger team. You and I have talked about this stat going into this postseason. This team has one pitcher going into the postseason with 10 wins or more. I mean, you would look at this roster historically, like 20, 30 years from now. You'll look back at this roster and say, how on God's green earth did that team get into the postseason? Because they had the second most home runs in Major League Baseball, and because they managed to patchwork together a rotation that fought through injuries to Maeda, Ryu, Hill, Wood, and Kershaw throughout the course of this year, and they managed to patchwork together this thing. It's either the greatest managerial job by Dave Roberts ever, or it's going to be an epic fail, because if they lose tonight, then they're in trouble, because then you go back to Atlanta, the series tied, and they could find themselves very much in the position that I think Atlanta finds themselves in tonight.
Steve Bordstein, host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in Farmington, New Mexico. Steve, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time on Fox, AM 1340, 93.9 FM, and on the iHeartRadio app, which is downloadable to your smartphone or wireless device. I host First Sports, national regional program. We talk a lot of national sports on the program. Jordan's a very, very popular guest on our program. We talk a lot of college football on the show with him. You can hear that show online on our website at foxsports1340.com. And then on weekend mornings, I also host a nationally syndicated horse racing show called The Fast Track. We're a month away from the Breeders' Cup out of Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. A lot of big races coming up and getting ready for the Breeders' Cup. You can listen to that show also online at 8 a.m. Mountain Time, and that's every Saturday and Sunday morning. You can also follow me on Twitter at Fox 1340 a.m.
Steve, always great to get you on the show. Enjoy the remainder of the evening. I know it's going to be an action-packed weekend for baseball, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
We will break one last time and come back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.